Today's reading is from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to take for me an offering. From all whose hearts prompt them to give, you shall receive the offering for me. This is the offering that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and crimson yarns, and fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and gems to be set in the ephod and for the breastpiece. And have them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them." And they received from Moses all the freewill offerings that the Israelites had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the artisans who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task being performed, and said to Moses, "The people are bringing much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for what they had already brought was more than enough to do all the work. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Lori. Let me ask if Dave and Lucy Smith are here this morning. Dave and all the way back there in the back. The altar flowers today are placed in their honor on their recent 70th anniversary and their 90th birthdays. Just a couple of youngsters, so we wanted to recognize that this morning. Also, I want to tag an announcement that Steve Claffey made in the video announcements earlier, which is looking forward to next Sunday for our Thanksgiving celebration service. We sort of already begun with our music today, but a tradition, it's become a tradition now, is to bring bags of perishable food, non-perishable food items for the food pantry. And during the opening hymn, we ask you to wait till the hymn as we sing, then we bring our food and we place them around the altar. You'll notice in your bulletin this morning, there's also an announcement about this, and it lists several of the items they need the most right now. So pay attention to that, and I hope you'll, as you're shopping this week, or maybe even make a special trip to get items so that we begin our Thanksgiving celebration thinking about ways we can give to help feed and care for others. But for this morning, I invite you to take out your outline for the message today in your bulletin, because today we celebrate what is perhaps for me the highest, most important Sunday of the year. Maybe for me even above Christmas and Easter. Now, it's not for everybody. I know some people in church, they don't like talking about money. They don't like talking about giving. It's right up there with politics. But for me, this is among the highest. Where else can I go in life where I get to celebrate where my money goes? My mortgage lender never calls me. Never says we're going to have a little ceremony to celebrate that next year we hope you're going to continue to give a significant percentage of your income to us for your mortgage. I would go if they did, because I'd celebrate the fact that I get to have shelter. I get to have a home. My health insurance provider never calls to say that next year, once again, we're hoping to take a significant portion of your salary and deduct it right out of your income before you ever get a chance to see it. We're going to have a ceremony to celebrate that. I'd go, because I remember I'm part of that privileged population that has health insurance. In 6 weeks, I go back for my next heart test. It comes once a year. I have an aneurysm in the ascending part of my aorta. So I have to go every year and have this test. And we'll see how close I am to surgery. I'm going to have it at some point, and it'll save my life. But I wouldn't be able to have that surgery without health insurance. My credit card company never calls me and says, it's that time of year again when you get to pay your annual fee, allowing you to use our credit card. If they did, I would go. Because not only do I use that card to pay for things I'd pay for anyway, whether I'm writing a check or giving cash, but because I use that card, guess what? I build these airline miles. We take free airplane trips every year because we use that credit card. I'd go. But none of them call. They don't have any ceremony, so I guess this will have to do. But this one's different. Because on this Sunday, I don't just mark where my money goes, I celebrate where it comes from. My friend James Howells, pastor of Myers Park Methodist in Charlotte, North Carolina, he says a number of years ago he changed his annual birthday tradition ritual. His kids, in reading The Hobbit, the trilogy Lord of the Rings, found out that hobbits celebrate birthdays by giving gifts to people, not receiving them. Now, he kind of figured that the reason his kids took notice of this is because his birthday was coming up. They were perhaps going, hey, Dad, why don't you give us something? It's what the hobbits do. But he studied up on this, and he decided to try it. He says he's done it ever since. It's changed what birthdays mean to him. Because he loves celebrating being able to give to the people who are most important in his life, not getting something from them. What a great reminder. Life is celebrated by what we give, not what we receive. I have a hunch that was behind the motivation of the response from the first offering taken in the history of Israel. They had just come out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery in the Exodus under Moses. They had traveled through the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness now, looking forward to the day when they would enter the promised land. But when they arrived in the wilderness, they took an offering. We heard two parts of that same story today. The first part comes in chapter 25. Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and we often associate that with the receiving of the Ten Commandments. And Moses got the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, but he also got a lot more. He got instructions for building the tabernacle, the sanctuary in the camp of the people. So in that first part of the reading we heard, it said, tell the Israelites to take an offering, and then the end of it, and have them make a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. And then there are 10 chapters of instruction, detailed instruction of how to build the tabernacle. So Moses comes down, he relays the information to the people, and when they take the offering, it says, as the workers come back to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work. So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. That is the stewardship sermon I look forward to preaching one day. You're giving too much. You are bringing so much, we don't know what to do with it all. I'm going to restrain you from giving. You want to shut up a preacher from talking about money? Then just give too much. That'll take care of it. Just stop. What motivated that response? I want to think about that just for a few minutes this morning. What motivated that kind of exorbitant generosity from the Israelites? I want to make observations on this passage. A number of the observations are things that we've been talking about over the last several weeks in this stewardship series on margins. So if you've been here, you'll probably recognize some of these. You'll notice in your outline there's a little divider after the first two, because the first two are more observations of fact. These are things that it says happened or took place. But the next three are more in the category of assumption. As we put together what was going on in the experience of the Israelites, I think we can make some plausible assumptions about their motivation for giving. So let's begin with the first one. First observation, the gifts of the people were voluntary. The gifts were voluntary. It says, from all whose hearts prompt them to give, you shall receive the offering from me. We've talked about this before, that if you feel forced to give, it's not really a gift. Even if you give out of obligation, there's not any joy in it. Giving should be such that you're free to do it. God says, give as you feel led. Give as your heart prompts you. And we'll consider in a moment what might have prompted the people, but it's voluntary. The gifts included resources and talents. They included money, and they included the abilities of the people. Then Moses summoned every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. The work, of course, of building the sanctuary. That's an important gift that we bring. I say it every year. Stewardship is not just about money. It's about everything. It's all that we have, including our talents. Sometimes people are in a situation in life, they can't give any money. It's been a bad year. Maybe it's just been a bad life. It's been a hard life. Not only are you not in a position to give anything, you're in a position where you need the gifts of other people. You need some support. But guess what? Even if that's your position, you can still turn in a pledge card. You can still serve. You can still pray. Your membership is never reduced to money. You fill out a card and you bring it up and you place it in a basket because you say, this is my family. This is my home. This is the place I'm going to be present. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to serve. I might not have gifts to bring. Maybe I put down a zero for the financial part. So what? Stewardship's about everything that we have to bring. So let's make some assumptions about why the people gave as they did. One is that their gifts were not their own. Their gifts were not their own. We talked about this last Sunday with the early church, where it says they did not look at their possessions as their own. And we pointed out that's the foundation of stewardship. It's understanding that everything we have comes from God. But think about how that truth applied to the Israelites. Have you ever wondered where they got the gifts that they offered? It says they brought all this gold, all this silver, all of these jewels, so much so that the workers said, you got to stop. Where did they get all of that from? You go back to Exodus 12, the last night before they were set free in Egypt. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. And the Egyptians were predisposed to give them these gifts. It was after the 10th plague. They would have given anything to get the Israelites out of there. That's where the gifts came from. In other words, they recognized we didn't get all of this stuff. It was given to us, and it was given to us because of what God was doing. That's where it came from. Years ago, I was in college. I worked at a church as a student assistant pastor. I took our youth on a retreat up to the mountains one fall. That morning before we traveled home, we had a closing worship service outdoors. It was a sunny, beautiful fall morning. And for the offering, I said, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go find an object from nature, and I want you to let that be your offering today. Find something that speaks to you and bring it back. So we took 20 minutes, everybody fanned out and went into the woods. They all came back, and they had different things in their hands. So when they brought it up to put it in a basket, they told why they picked that object. One girl had a pine cone. She said, well, I've learned in school recently that pine cones can actually produce hundreds of seeds inside of them. And those seeds can go into the earth and become a new tree. I just think it's really cool the way God made the world to keep going. That's my gift. This other girl brought a maple leaf, one of these just glowing maple leaves, bright yellow and orange colors in it. She said, I learned in biology that the chemical that feeds a plant is called chlorophyll. And in the fall, the chlorophyll recedes, it goes away. Chlorophyll is what makes every leaf green, but it's this time of year that you see the true color of a plant. I just think that's cool. That's my gift. This other boy brought up a rock, a kind of big rock out of the creek. He said, I noticed that a lot of the homes around here build with river rock. And it's something that you look at and you just take it for granted and maybe not realize it's probably a valuable resource. He placed his rock in the basket. I said, now what can we learn about giving? I was amazed at what they said. One person thought about the pine cone and said, you know, maybe when we give, it's like planting seeds. It's what God uses to keep life going. Somebody else reflected on the leaf and said, you know, I wonder if we're like leaves, that when we sacrifice, when we give up life, just like the chlorophyll going out of a tree, that's when we shine our brightest. Wasn't that nice? They thought about the rock. They said, God gives us the resources that others can build with. The one thing we all came away from the conversation remembering is that it all belongs to God. We're really giving back to God what is God's. Listen to how Paul said it in Corinthians. Paul wrote, what do you have that God hasn't already given you? Another observation. The gifts of the Israelites express gratitude for what God brought them through. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time with this one. We're going to focus on this idea next Sunday. We're going to think about thanksgiving in terms of recognizing what God has brought us through. In fact, we're going to hear the stories from some of our people reflecting on what God has been bringing them through and what this thanksgiving means to them. But think for a moment of what it meant to the Israelites. In recent memory, they could recall standing on the western shore of the Red Sea, looking behind at Pharaoh's army closing in fast, being within minutes perhaps of being struck down to their deaths. And then miraculously the sea opened up and they walked through it and they got to the other side and they turned around and they saw the water close back in over their enemy. And they realized, I wouldn't be alive today were it not for God. We wouldn't be here had God not brought us through that. So certainly that had to be a motivating factor. But one more. Their gifts created space for God. I love this thought. That's exactly what their giving was for. Building a tabernacle. Building a place where God would dwell among them. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, God says to Moses, and I will dwell among them. Their gifts were building a sanctuary. In other words, God's habitat is established in the generosity of God's people. Our generosity makes a space for God to be experienced. Gene Tucker, in his commentary on Exodus, talks about the meaning of the words offering and prompt. That the word offering in Hebrew literally means to raise up, to lift up. And prompt is much like we would think of it. It's a heartfelt desire to do something. So God says, I want your heartfelt desire to give an offering, to raise up. Gene Tucker points out that this is referencing the way God made every one of us. Every one of us have this inside of us. We have something in us that just, it wants to lift up and give thanks for something. What did you all do a while ago when the choir finished that magnificent anthem? What happened? You clapped. Why did you clap? Because somebody told you to? Did you see the applause on the screen when it came on? Applause, applause, applause. You better clap now. No, no, you didn't have to be told to do that. Why? Something in you said, I want to. I want to respond. That's what God put inside of you. When you experience something of joy, of beauty, of meaning, of power, you want to show it. You want to raise it up. In his commentary, Gene Tucker says this, the only compelling motivation for generous stewardship is a theological awareness that life is a pure gift and that gratitude is the only fitting posture for life. Let me share a story that I think illustrates that idea. A few weeks ago, Susan and I felt a need to go through our closets and get rid of clothes that we don't need and things we're not wearing anymore, whatever, just start to clean out some. It's kind of interesting, though. I noticed that she was able to make decisions a lot quicker and more swiftly when looking at my side of the closet. Didn't seem to take her any time at all. You don't wear that shirt anymore, get rid of it. Oh, those pants are too old, they don't look good on you, get rid of that. Then she started going through my hats. And she came to this hat. Said, we're getting rid of that. I said, not so fast, General Sherman, hang on there. Give me that hat. You never wear that hat. I said, that doesn't matter. She said, look at it. The logo on the front of the cap isn't even lined up. It's not even centered. If you don't wear this hat. I said, that's not why I keep it. When we were living in North Carolina and our youngest daughter, Anna, was, I think, in the eighth grade, her class at school took a field trip to Mount Airy, North Carolina. Now in Mount Airy, on their main street, they've recreated scenes from Mayberry, the fictional town from the Andy Griffith Show. There wasn't a real Mayberry, but it actually was based on Mount Airy, North Carolina. So they've got a Floyd's barbershop and the sheriff's office and the old sheriff's car that you can get in. So Anna, at that point, was starting to babysit and earn her own money. So our deal was, we will pay for things you need to have, even things like field trips. But you want to do any extra spending, that's going to be your money. You use your money for yourself, we'll pay for the other things. So we paid for the field trip. She went up to Mount Airy for the day, came home that night, told us all about it, just talking a mile a minute about everything she did. And then she pulled this hat out. Said, look at this, Dad. And I took it and I said, you got this? She said, yes. And of course, I didn't say it at the moment, but I'm looking at it going, well, the logo on it, it's not even straight. It's the picture of Andy Griffith and Opie with the fishing pole, you know, that they would always show at the start of the show, walking down to the lake. It says Mayberry below it. I said, wow, Anna, you don't even like ball caps. This had to be as much money as you earned babysitting the other night. Why on earth would you have gotten a ball cap? And she said, Dad, I got it for you. I know how much you like the show. This is yours. So I said to Mama, this hat ain't going nowhere. Because there's divinity in a gift like that. It's not just a hat anymore. It's something sacred. It represents where the gift came from. When somebody sacrifices and uses all of their resources to get something to say, I was thinking of you, makes me wonder how God might look at our gifts. I think about the gift I give to God, what I'm going to write down on a card in a minute and put in a basket. Does God really need that? Probably not. Oh, yes, God can use it. I don't know that God depends on it. When you look at the vast needs of our world, what difference is my gift going to make? I don't think that's how God looks at it. I think God looks at it like I look at this hat. You're thinking of me? You're grateful for me? I think God says it's godly. And God says that's where I choose to live. That's where I choose to abide. And that kind of generosity among my children. In a moment, we'll close by having an opportunity to come and place cards in a basket. But as we get ready to do that, I want you to watch a video of our ministry life this year. It's kind of a highlight reel of ministry that's happened through our church that happened because a year ago we did the same thing. We wrote gifts down on a card and we brought them forward, and this is what happened with those gifts. We think about how we have participated in a place where God dwells. And because God dwells here, look what's going on. So maybe you brought with you today the card that was mailed to you earlier this week if you're a member at St. Luke's, or if you don't have that in your bulletin or in the pew rack in front of you is a pledge card that you can fill out that is simply an expression of your intent of what you hope to do in the year ahead to be a part of God's presence being experienced, just like all of the different variety of ways you see in that video. and you say, I want to be a part of that in the year ahead. There are baskets here in the front, two in the middle, then on each of the aisles, and I think there may even be some in the middle of the aisles. You have them in the balcony. There's one on the far side over here. And as we close in singing, you're invited to bring your card, just fold it up or place it upside down and place that in the basket. If you have the envelope you brought, you can put it in that envelope and place it in there. And then if you would, after you've done that, go back to your seat. And I'm going to close us in a benediction. Just a couple more important things I want to share with you before we go today. If you're visiting right now, please, please, please don't feel awkward at all that you're not coming forward, because you're a guest here. And this is sort of a family thing that once a year we do this. And we get to celebrate not just where our giving goes, but the one who gave it to us, and to live as a community that's full of joy and generosity. So as we get ready, let us join in the word of prayer. Gracious God, it is such a sacred thing to give a gift and say, Lord, this is for you. Thank you. Thank you for what you mean to us, for what you've done for us. Everything we have comes from you. We realize that. And we get an even added blessing that out of what we have, out of what you've given to us, we can be a part of your work to bless others and to continue to keep life going, to give strength, to give aid. So may we experience a high moment in our own lives this year as we take time now to come and offer these commitments to you. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.